So, nope, not loud enough. Going to correct this. So, is that loud enough? Okay, the guys in the back, can you hear me clearly? Yeah, fine, cool. So, warm welcome to social computing and social gaming. My name is Georg Roh. I'll be lecturing both lectures this semester. I work at the chair of Professor Schlichter, and well, my field of research is social computing, so that's a good match in theory. Okay. Well, what are we going to do this semester? So today I will be going through those slides that are titled with organizational notes, because that's the most interesting thing for you. Will I really have to come to these lectures? Oh my God, this guy's voice is so boring. I'm going to doze away. Is that recorded? Is there a script? Is it difficult? Can I do it? Whatever, right? I'll be trying to answer all the questions that you have, okay? Especially, so there's a mixed audience, presumably. So there are a lot of social gaming students of the fourth semester and several social computing students of other semesters, master's students, and I'll address them properly, right? Good. First remark that I want to make is that there are several of you that are, left over from last year. I'll be meeting with you at the end of this hour outside down in the sun, and we'll be talking about issues. If you, let's say, passed the lab course and didn't pass the exam or vice versa, all these questions from last year's students we'll be discussing after the lecture down there. Okay? Good. So, let me go into the details, okay? So, I'll be introducing you to myself, well, I did that already, to the rest of the staff, the tutors, general organizational aspects of this lecture, the actual lecture contents, the exam and the whole stuff with marks and points and credits and all these things. Then I'll be talking about the social gaming lab course and its assignments. What's not correct is that this year we don't have any alternative company tasks. I took that over from last year, so forget about this. Instead, we have something new, which I'll be talking about in several minutes. And the last thing will be the time plan and your to-dos, right? So what is the expected of you to do when, okay? So staff and tutors, so well, that's my ugly face. And then there is Claudius Hauptmann, who prepared together with Fabian and myself the new technological basis for the lab course for this year. And Christoph Fuchs is a PhD student of mine who will be hosting the exercise. And I'll be talking to you about the exercise, as I said, in a few minutes. Then I have the honor to have five student tutors in my team. That's Daniel Gühlen, who worked with me over several semesters. So he has been a tutor for 3 years now. He's currently doing his master's thesis with me about an emotion engine for believable non-player character behavior. Then there's Fabian Kloos, who did his bachelor thesis with me as a supervisor and advisor, and he worked with me and Claudius on the technological basis of the lab course. So it's all a bit refreshed, renewed, and even smoother than last year. Then there is Tobias Kammerer, Elias Marquardt, and Max Tarr. So Max Tarr is maybe known to some of you because he has been the Semestersprecher of the first year in informatics games engineering. Very experienced guys, very good guys, very competent guys, and I think that we'll be getting along very well with each other. Okay. So before I go to the next slide, you may have already recognized that I'm talking in English. It's not so hard, okay? Well, success is so nice. And the reason is pretty simple. Well, the social computing course is very popular among international students. So that's why we chose to give this course in English, which means that since both courses are largely in parallel, the fourth semester students will have to deal with English as well. However, there is literature for everything. So for those that can't endure my English or my voice or my face or all three things, there is help out there in the universe, right? Good. Yes. So let's talk about social gaming first. So who is a social gaming student? Hands up. Okay, so the counter thing, who's a social computing student? Hands up. Okay, there are also several. Who's an international student? Well, as you can see, there's a lot of international students, especially a warm welcome to you. And let's talk about social gaming first. So the reason why there is, why both lectures are in parallel is simply a bit organizational, because we just can't handle it if they were different, because there is so much parallels in the actual content, and I decided, well, then let's conduct them both in parallel as far as we can. Okay, so let's first talk about the organizational aspects of social gaming. So obviously you might be aware of the fact that the FPSO, the general examination guidelines, have been changed thrice with respect to this lecture, right? So in the first year, it was a single module with 3 hours of lectures and 3 hours of lab course. And the examination regulations, turned out to be such that the lab course wasn't actually mandatory. It was mandatory, but it wasn't separately scored. So that was a bit of a disaster, which was not foreseen by the original designers of the FPSO. That's why I had this changed in the second year, which we are still having, right? So that's yours, right? And that's, we're still having 3 hours of lecture and 3 hours of lab course, but there is two examination parts. And the first one is the exam, which is solely about the lecture. And the second one is the exam part that's about the lab course. And that's simply do the lab course and get a mark for it, right? So that's called an Übungsleistung in this academic jurisdictional terms, right? So the lab course is nowadays mandatory. Now, there is a third change in the FPSO that's coming up next year, and that has been dealt with the student representatives, so it's all to your favor. And now we'll be having two separate modules, right? One that deals with the theoretical content, and this will be 3 hours of lecture plus 1 hour of exercise, and then the lab course will be reduced to 2 hours of lab course, right? And each of those modules will then give next year's students 5 credits, okay? Now, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because I will and want to conduct this year's course in the spirit of next year's course, right? So that means that we are still going to have 3 hours of lecture, but the lab course was reduced a bit in its extension. So in last year's lab course, we had 4 assignments. In this year's lab course, we're only keeping the first 2 large assignments, right? And the free space that we gain will be filled with a special exercise that I'm going to talk about later. That's completely non-mandatory, right? So you can either do that or don't do that, but it will be scored, and I'll explain that later as well, as a freiwillige benotete Midterm-Leistung. I didn't invent those terms, which can improve the mark of your written exam by 50%, Okay, so that's a good deal. And I'm going to tell you about the scoring later on, right? But that's just historical. And that I want you to understand why these things are as they are. Okay? I expect that around 120 to 150 students will take this course, social gaming. Don't know how many exactly. We'll be having 14 weeks in that semester. And in the lab course, we will work in groups of six. Okay? And I know that this is far from ideal because it's a bit too large as a group, but we can't handle that organizationally, right? So groups of six, which breaks down to about 20 to 25 groups, and I'll tell you how you can register in a second, right? So in these groups of six, you'll be working on the two mandatory parts to assignments of the lab course, right? Which is pretty much about designing a mobile social game and actually implementing it over the course of the semester, okay? And this optional third task is, again, an individual thing, right? So you don't need to work in groups for that. And speaking of social computing, so for those of you that visit this combined lecture under these prerequisites, so the module is 3 hours of lecture plus 1 hour of exercise, right, which gives you 5 credits. And this 1 hour of exercise will be the same and work under the same rules as the third optional task for the game students, right? And you can, it's completely optional if you want to do it. These are several sheets in the second half of the semester where we are going to apply what we've learned in the first part of the semester, right? Because it's only 1 hour of exercise and not two as usual, right? That's why we're having it in the second half. If you want to do it, you can constantly hand in the respective parts of the assignments and you'll get a mark for the whole thing, which can then also improve your exam mark by 50%. Okay? So it's the same for gaming and computing. If you want, and I'll encourage you to, you can do that and you'll help us in a special way, which I'm going to talk about later on. Okay? So that's this strange, complicated setting. Let's stop there for a second. Is there anyone that has doubts or questions at this point already? Please show up. It's not a big deal. All right? Good. Maybe if there's some individual things. Yeah, cool.
About the grades, the exams and the lab courses.
Yes. Yes. So his question was, does every group member get the same mark? No, it's not the case, and I'll talk about this later, how we're going to deal with this in particular. Okay? Good. So, that was that. Now, another important thing, we'll be using an e-learning platform, right? So all the tutoring and everything will go in discussion boards on that e-learning platform. It has turned out to be, well, the optimal choice from my point of view. So social computing students as well as social gaming students can utter questions on that discussion board, and they're answered by two parties. Okay, so first of all, it's an e-learning platform where students tutor students, right? So if one of you posts a question, the others are of course, encouraged to also answer that question. Second party that will answer questions is, for of course, the staff. Okay, so the tutors will answer questions on that platform, and it'll be the case that we have 5 tutors, and the tutors are mainly responsible for answering questions with respect to the social gaming lab course. Okay, that's what they were hired for in the first place. And each tutor is on duty for each day of the week. So there's one tutor that's on duty for Monday, one on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Friday. Okay, Okay, days of the week. Very hard. Okay. So, and all the problems that are posted on that day will be answered by that tutor. Okay. So that's, however, a thing where we guarantee most of your, of tutoring for you. The downside is that there is no, real presence time or something, but each tutor has his or her own, well, there's no girl, so his five groups, okay? And you're in a special exchange with that, with your tutor. I'll come back to this later on, okay? However, this will all take place using the e-learning platform, and this is the e-learning platform that's called Piazza. We're not going to use Moodle. Piazza is a bit more user-friendly, right? And there is two links. One link that'll bring you directly to that, but before you see something relevant, you need to sign up. So sign up is free, and there is no password that you need, just sign up. If there's technical problems, come to me and I'll manually add you to the platform, right? So the platform has two main parts that we're going to use. First, there is a discussion board, which we will use in the way I just explained. And the second part is the resources section. And in the resources section, you'll get everything, right? You'll get all the papers, all the books that we are using, all the slides, a link to the audio and screen capture of the lecture, everything, right? And there is also an announcement channel that I'm going to use. So I'm not going to use TUM Online except for matters that are post-exam, right? So if I'll introduce, for example, the exam review via TUM Online, but all the other announcements I'll do via Piazza. So if you seriously want to participate in this lecture, please register. Otherwise, you'll be, yeah, locked out from all the information, okay? And as I said, if there's a problem registering for the platform, please tell me. I'll take care of this. Now, what are we going to do, actually? And coming back to this, why are things in parallel? So I've been to a lot of conferences in the field of social computing, and my learning goal that I would advise for you is that you should understand the basics of social computing and social gaming such that you're able to read publications and creatively work with the constructions and algorithms and ideas in that field, okay? Now, what does that have to do with social gaming? Well, the story of this semester is we'll be starting off with a pretty general look on what is play, what is game, what is social about playing. And this is the slide set that's called Social Games. And it's not very, actually very game specific. So we're not going to talk about the level structure of World of Warcraft or something. It's pretty much a general construction. And then we'll be having a slide set that's called Social Media, where we will be dealing with all these things of how you can formalize social context, what does that have to do with social networking, Facebook, microblogging, all these issues. And the story will be that social games and social media have so many things in common that we are going to treat them along the same lines, right? That's pretty daring on the one hand, but on the other hand, if you thoroughly analyze what's going on in platforms like Facebook and what's going on in gaming environments like World of Warcraft and so on. Admittedly, there is a lot of differences, but there's, from a theoretical point of view, there's a lot of things that these structures have in common, right? So from the point of view of a social computing student that comes into that lecture and says, well, I want to learn about community detection algorithms. Yeah? What do I have to do with social games? I would always answer pretty much, because there is a lot of things going on in terms of gamification, serious games, and a lot of ideas from the social gaming scene swap over into social computing, right? So the last three PhD theses that I was a second person for were all about gamification and crowdsourcing and its parallels, right? So there is a lot of parallels seen from that side. From the other side, from the gamer's perspective, you could say, well, I'm a games engineering student. Why do you bore me with such things as community detection? And I'm going to answer, well, you're not a game design student. You're an informatics games engineering student. And there's obviously, if you want to creatively further develop the what's out there and goes under the name of social games, you need to be aware of the technologically advanced ideas, right? So how do I incorporate, well, general context, like location context? How do I incorporate social signal processing techniques? So think of Kinect and the impact Kinect has had, right, in social gaming. So I'm totally confident that you can way better than I could ever do that design games with the Kinect. But if you really want to be that step ahead, you need to know about the techniques that are behind that, right? To be able to creatively use that. The other thing is, you're totally apt in designing nice characters and avatars that appear in an online role-playing game. That's nice. But if you want to know more about your player community, what is the social network behind that community like? Who are the central figures? That is a great advantage in terms of marketing, in terms of, well, incorporating this into games ideas and so on. That's why I think that these two fields, social media and social gaming, will really converge into one large blob with several facets in the future, right? So we're going to have things that amalgamate social networking with augmented reality, with urban style games that are ongoing and kind of blur the boundaries between actual gaming in its nerdiest form, yeah, sitting in a darkened room before an ego shooter, to going out there, getting to new people, blending role playing with dating, with friends making, matchmaking, and all these things, right? So that's the larger vision of that lecture, right? In terms of that, we are going to talk about models of social contexts, right? Basics of sociometry, right? So how do I analyze social networks? What's centrality? What are dense subgroups? What are communities and all these things? Then we're going to talk about profile mining and very importantly about properties of real world networks, right? So how does it come that everybody knows everybody else around six corners, right? So what would you say, what's your distance to Osama bin Laden? Well, now he's dead, but your virtual distance, right? Have a guess? Okay, obviously I have a distance of 3. And really I can argue why I have a distance of 3. And you have a distance of 4. What?
Explain.
Okay, good. So a good friend of mine, she studied in New York at Columbia University, and you know that bin Laden has a lot of brothers in the U.S. And one of his niches was her commilitone, what's that in English? Yeah, she was in the same course of study. So assuming that she knows her uncle, which is a bit daring given the structure of that family, but let's assume that, okay? Well, that's a distance of 3, and you have a distance of 4. So these are questions, for example, that we will be dealing about mathematical structures of real-world networks. What are the properties? Okay. And then we'll be very briefly talking about temporal and spatial properties of social networks. So, for example, what is the relation between spatial distance and the property that you're friend with somebody? And what does that tell us? Okay. And we'll will be finding out that there is a lot of research in that area and a lot of interesting insights. The last two points are, yeah, depending on how you view it, are the most scary ones. So there'll be a slide set on social signal processing, yeah, where we will be dealing with short-term social contexts. Yeah, so what can you do with audio processing and visual processing, face recognition, and all these things? And I offered this to the last year's games engineering students, and they declined, but I will offer it to you nevertheless. So I know that most of you have not taken the course on probability theory. That's correct, right? And probability theory is nevertheless very essential for your complete course of study, especially for the masters. So I'm very willing to give you two free lessons on basics of probability theory. And if you want me to do it, I'll be doing a survey on the platform. At the middle of the semester, we'll be having this in the evening. Okay. I know you have enough lectures, but this is just a service, offer I'm going to offer you, right? If you want it, we can have this, these basics of probability, really very basic, yeah? Bayes' theorem, what is probability, what is an event, what is conditional probability, all the things that you might know from school, but that you might require to fully understand this slide set on social signal processing, yeah? The last thing then, again, is maybe, again, for all audiences, and that's game theory. Yeah, because who knows what game theory is? Hands up. Right, there's some. Who has a slight guess what it could be? Hands up. Okay, at least some, okay? Who has no idea whatsoever what it is? Well, there's still a large set. Who doesn't care and doesn't know and... Oh, yeah, okay, interesting. Very nice. Yeah, good. So game theory is about formal situations where you are having a lot of players, which for and each one has a utility function, and the question is, what is the best strategy to do? Okay, and I think that for a games engineering student as well as for a social computing student, it's very helpful to actually know what game theory is. Yeah, so who has seen the movie A Beautiful Mind? About Well, that's about Nash, the great pioneer of game theory, and Nash equilibria is what we're going to be dealing with there. Okay? Good. So that's more or less the curriculum that we will do. Good. This I already said. Now, as for the ugly part, so for the social gaming students, considering that the lab course will be substantially reduced from last year's lab course, I want to score the whole mark for your whole module in the following way. So 50% come from the written exam and 50% come from the mandatory lab course assignments. And for the social computing students, 100% of the mark comes from the exam. Okay, so that's easy to understand. Now, the written exam is actually the same, but the grading schema is different. So last year, I applied the social gaming, the social gaming grading schema also to the social computing guys, which were a bit better, so they had the bonus, right? So there's always a lot of fear when there are master's students that also take the same course that, well, I'm only in the fourth semester. How am I going to compete against those master's students? Don't worry, right? So I'll take it to the easier side when it comes to scoring, right? I take the social gaming view. Now, you had a question. Okay, the social computing has 5. If it said on the slides it has 4, it's a mistake. It has 5. That's for sure, right? So written exam is the same. Grading schema is different. Okay. What will the exam be like? Okay. So in contrast to something very mathematical, like discrete structures, yeah, where the exam is pretty clear in the way that it will look like, here it's a bit, well, a bit more fuzzy in a certain way, right? So I guess that most of you don't have an idea what in the end, what the structure of the questions will be like. And that's why I devised the following schema. So as always, we'll have a repeat exam in October. You're totally free to take whatever you want. There is no prerequisite in having the first one taken before you can take the other one. Choose whatever you like. Take the one in July or in October or both, whatever you want, right? The general idea of the exam is that it's a bit overloaded. It consists of 25 questions, and each question gives you 10 points, right? There are easier questions, which nevertheless give 10 points, and there are more complicated ones, which also give 10 points. Each question, 10 points. Maximum number of points is 250. And if I'm not completely mistaken, you needed 80 to pass, because the results were not that astonishing. I hope that this year you'll be a bit better, but let's see. So still doesn't answer anything about how these questions will look like, but the nice thing is each of those slide sets that I'm going to publish on Piazza has a block of questions in the end, like 15 to 20 such questions, okay? And what I want you to do is I want you to work through these questions in order to make sure that you understood what you just read or worked through. And I'm going to take 40% of the real exam's questions out of that question pool. Okay? So considering that you need about roughly about 40% of the points or less to pass, right? If you know all the answers to those questions on the slide sets, you theoretically should be on the safe side. Yeah? I'm not going to give you any solutions. And that's, if you think about that from a game theoretical point of view, it's clear that I don't give you solutions, right? Normally, I believe in that every assignment should have a solution because that's how you learn. But these are so easy that you should try to come up with your own solution. I know that there is files that circulate with tentative answers, but they're not from me, right? So they can be good, they can be bad. You have to activate your own brain to judge them, okay? And that's a bit of a game, right? If you deal with that intelligently, you'll be really on the safe side because you know the style of the questions, the extension, the level of difficulty. You'll pretty much know the exam, right? 60% of the questions I will, newly devise, right? I will think and, but they're in the same style, same level of difficulty, right? And the intention of that is that you know what you can expect. And, but on the same side, you don't know all the solutions beforehand, right? Good. So that's this exam. Okay. And I'll publish a separate exam fact sheet on Piazza, which contains everything, all the details before, while you're still preparing. And what I'm also going to offer is 2 question hours. Yeah. So if you have questions, I'm going to separately sit with you in this lecture hall and we'll discuss anything that you have before the exam. And before the repeat exam, we'll have another one of these. Good. Now that's for the lecture. What about this ominous, optional third task or exercise? Now, the story behind that is the following. Well, I already told you pretty much about the story. So I want to have this as a outlook to the next, to the structure of module structure of next year, and where you will, where the game student will also have this 1 hour of exercise. And I showed you the photo of my PhD student, Christoph. And he's working on social information retrieval. That's his PhD thesis topic. And, well, the research question behind that is, you know that your friends have large information spaces, right? Whatever you consider part of these information space. What they have on their laptops, what they have on their mobile phones, the web pages that they look at, the discussion boards they post in, the blog posts that they make, the tweets, it's all part of their information space. And even if you want, you can include what they know. So the stuff here in the protein bubble up there, okay? Now, you all know that you socialize, right? So you observe the people around you. You observe what they wear, how they behave, what clubs they go to. And then you decide for yourself if that's relevant or even serendipitous for you. Okay, that's the usual way we socialize. So the idea is, if we would have an IT system that would support information retrieval in the information spaces of your immediate social network environment, what are limits and chances for such a system? Okay, so first of all, it's a question of privacy, right? And I have another PhD student that solely works on social networking privacy questions. Assuming that we have one entity, an agent, or the user herself that decides upon privacy. So what should be part of the information space? What do I want to publish for whom, right? Then the answer is, the question is still, the answer is still, what are possible uses, chances, limits of such a technique? And this year's exercise is all under the motto of social information retrieval. There will be several worksheets that you can individually do, right? We will raise, in that community here, we will raise our own data set, so the social network of the people in that room, properly hashed so that all the privacy issues are dealt with, right? And we will investigate such questions as, what are your routing decisions when you ask someone? What's the utility of asking persons that are, that you have strong social ties with what's the utility of persons that you ask that you have loose social ties with? Right? There is a whole body of work in sociology and social computing that deals with these questions. What's the value of information of a close friend, right? And we'll be dealing with these issues, right? And you'll be, so there's actually two ways to tackle that. So we can, with an IT system, we can support this asking process, right? So more or less messaging. But you know that there's subtle questions of social capital involved, right? So if you keep on bothering your friend with questions such as, I don't know what key do I have to press when I want to access the at sign on my computer, right? What key do I have to press when I want to access the euro sign? And no later than the fifth such stupid question, the person will say, leave me alone and die. Yes? Because that has to do with social capital, right? If it's your girlfriend that asks you, well, then you might even answer four of these questions. Yeah? From a deliberate person or from me, you might only answer two. So it's a question of how do I bookkeep this? This is a market. And we're currently investigating these market structures with a bachelor's student. And we will be having parts that will investigate that. Okay. Another thing is, if you take the usual machinery of machine learning, yeah, as Google does. We will simulate this with so-called topic models. Then the question is, how far can we get with automated social information retrieval? Okay. So what you will do, we will get the social network. We will get some other data from you if you want to participate in that. And on these worksheets, we will analyze these data together. Yeah, so we will analyze the social network. We will try certain measures that we've learned in the first part of the lecture. And they're not real, it's not really large. So we designed it to be actually within that 1 hour of exercise thing for you. Yeah, so it's not going to take up your whole second half of the semester. And as I said, it can improve your mark of the written exam by half, okay? Or I should say 100%, however you want to look at it. So let's take a look at some computing exams. So first, let's assume you're a computing gaming student, right? You, in your written exam, you had a 3.0. In the lab course, you also had a 3.0. You don't have time, or you're lazy, or you just can't bear it, or you find it not interesting, so you don't take part in the optional third task. So your mark will be a 3.0, right? If you take part, and let's assume you're doing the job well, right? And among us, so there's nothing to not do very well. It's just if you do it, you'll get a good mark, right? That's the thing. Thank you. Thank you. It's called an Angebot that you can't offer, you can't refuse. I'm going to. No. Good. So this will, like, improve your 3.0 from the exam to an actual effective 2.0, which will then be combined with your lab course mark to the overall 2.0, right? For the computing student, it's even simpler, right? No exercise, written exam is the same as the module mark. If you do the exercise, it will score as 50% or 100%, however. Yeah, well, it's actually more logical to say it'll score as 100%, right? Improvement, okay? So that's the whole examination thing. And it's meant as an advertise to actually do it, because we will, of course, take out something for the evaluation of Christoph's thesis. So you're helping Christoph a lot, because it's like the important part of his PhD thesis, right? This experiment. And I would strongly beg you to really take part in that. Yeah? Yeah? So the question was, there is a lot of knowledge that's not represented on a computer. How are you going to extract it? Well, you're supposed to answer questionnaire-like questions and upload a certain information, right? So, for example, what we would like you to do is to upload a hash of your Facebook friends, if you have, right? So it'll not be, we will redistribute the whole social network for the other ones to analyze, but we will do double hashing to ensure that no one can be tracked, okay? So the nothing sensitive leaves your computer. That's the design, right? So you'll be an information retrieval agent. And what is, so Christoph has written a lot of Python programs that will run on your computer, which are source open, so you can see that there's nothing malicious going on. And everything that you upload, you can tangibly control before you do it, right? So we'll ensure that the privacy is really respected as far as possible. And the parts that are social, but not in the algorithms, you will substitute in a Wizard of Oz style experiment. That's typical of social computing. So you'll simulate the computer, okay? At least in parts, okay? And I think that'll be a very interesting thing to combine research and teaching in a certain way, right? So you'll be really taking part in our research if you want to, Okay. Yeah, well, the question was, when will the exercise sessions be? So it'll be in the second half of the semester, starting from May 20th, right? So at May 20th, Christoph and I will be introducing all of the sheets, and then each week there'll be a small exercise sheet until the end of the semester. No, it's nothing you have to be present for. It all works electronically. So you'll have all the sheets and you can deal with that whenever you want. So it's all asynchronously, right? That's important. Good. Another thing. So for those of you that say, I would really like to improve my exam mark, but I'm not willing to do things as upload my Facebook friends because I don't trust these guys. Maybe they say they have a good hash function, but maybe the hash function is not that good as they say. And I just don't want it. And it's too much of a hassle for me to control everything that I upload. I want to be in peace with my extremist websites or whatever. Yeah. Leave me alone, go die. I don't want to do it. But there's another thing. If you really are someone like that, you can do something instead. And that is write a 10-page seminar paper, ACM double column. Who has ever worked with ACM double column format? So how many pages are that in plain A4 or letter? Very many, yes. Thank you for that estimation. Yeah. Very many pages. Good. Good. So, lab course. Well, that's not of importance for the social computing girls and guys. Yeah?
My question, do we need to pass the exam to get the bonus of the exercise?
Yes. So the question was, do I have to pass the exam to get the bonus? Yes, it's not a bonus, technically speaking. It's a benotete midterm Leistung, freiwillig. Yeah, I didn't devise all these stupid things. Yeah, because a bonus technically can only be 0.3, right? And as a freiwillige benotete midterm Leistung, I can decide how much it will weigh, but you need to pass the exam. But you can, however, you can take that over to the repeat exam. So if you fail the first exam, but did the actual extra exercise, the work is not lost, right? You can apply it to the retake exam. But unfortunately not in the next year, because that has to do with legal things. So from my point of view, you could take it over to whatever, the year 2100, but legal issues prevent that. Yes? Cool. Yeah? No. You can't. So since it's an optional thing, it can only improve your exam mark, right? So there is no such decrease possible. Now, as for the lab course, so the social computing guys can relax because it's not for them, right? So the lab course I'm talking about is the mandatory part for the gaming students only, right? Unfortunately, the social computing guys cannot take part in that because it is exclusively for game students, okay? And it consists of two parts. As I said, designing a mobile game and implementing an actual mobile social game. And the ideas are that you, learning targets are that you are supposed to deepen your programming knowledge in the fourth semester. I think that's really, you've learned a lot and now you're supposed to really apply that. It's all in Java, as I will explain to you when it's time. And gain further experience with practical software engineering in a small team and apply the concepts of social computing into social games, right? So we'll be encouraging you to apply things as social context and so on in a social game. As I said, groups of six. From tomorrow 4 p.m. until Tuesday next week, midnight, you will have the chance to register in TUM Online in, well, exercise groups or groups of whatever name or provenance of six. And you can freely register, re-register, change, sign off a group and sign to another. So the process is fully dynamic until next, Tuesday, April 21st. And people or teams that are not complete by Tuesday, April 21st will be merged forcibly by me. Yeah. So that groups should have a minimum of five and usually six members. Okay. And if there, let's say there are three people left over, I will redistribute them to groups that have only five. And if there are three people left over and all the others are in groups of six, I will redistribute those three to a six group, right? Each one. Yeah. So be sure that you form solid groups of six by that date. And since we are going to deal with mobile social games, it would be very preferable if you would have two Android phones in a group, right? Nice. So if you could somehow arrange for that internally by communicating with your team members, it's possible. So we have Android phones to lend. But it would be preferable if you could have that, okay? Good. And the teams remain the same for those two tasks, okay? And so, as I said, the first task, which I will introduce to you tomorrow, right? So for tomorrow, the games, give me a second, yeah? The social computing students do not need to show up tomorrow, right? Tomorrow morning, and I didn't really choose the time, please apologize. Wednesday, 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, so, but, well, that's just the slot I have. And tomorrow I'm going to introduce you to the first lab course task, which will be about structured sketching, storyboarding, and video techniques to actually design the mobile social game, right? And this is the first task, which we will have 2 weeks of time for, right? So we're having a tight schedule, right? 2 weeks for the first lab course assignment and the whole rest of the semester for the second. And the second deals with implementing this, actually. And the technology stack that we chose is pretty simple. It's all Java. So we'll be dealing with Play as a server component, with Google Street Maps for the location context, with Facebook, and there's replacements for those that are Facebook haters, right? With Facebook as a social network and a prepared Android client for the mobile client, okay? And this we will introduce in great detail in about 3 weeks, right? So don't worry now. You will have to submit your results via GitHub, okay? And GitHub is a modern versioning tool that is very strongly recommended. And you'll get a GitHub account by us, right? So we'll have, for each group, there will be a group account, and each one of you will get an individual GitHub account. And what I would, not like you to, but what is absolutely mandatory is that you send, for each of the two assignments, you send a list to your tutor of what has been done, what are the assets that you submit, and what's the share of contribution of each of your team members, right? Let's assume you have a client, and the client is made up out of three classes, okay? Three Java classes, yeah? Then what we want you to do is to say that class number one, let's call me Michael. Michael had a share of 30%. Thomas had a share of 10%. Stefan of 20, and so on, right? And each team member must hand in such a list. Now, why is that? The answer is free riding, okay? So in teams of six, as you can imagine, there's always this one, these one or two notorious persons which are just in the group but don't do anything, right? So last year, we forced the students, and that was a bit Stasi, actually, we forced the students to actually give marks in terms of competence and engagement for their team members, okay? It worked, yeah? It's just to filter out free riders, okay? So better take care of that. If you're a good group and you're socially coherent and you want to protect one of your free riding friends, there's nothing we can do, right? Make sure that your sheets are consistent, and we say, oh, yeah, nice. So I'm not a detective, yeah? I don't care about free riding. The only thing is, legally, I am bound to give you individual marks. Group marks are simply not allowed. There was a question, yeah, somewhere there who asked for that. So I need to give individual marks. And in order to be able to give individual marks, I need some basis. I need to look at the check-ins in GitHub, right? Not too thoroughly. It's not that someone that did never check-in gets a 5.0. No, but these are all indications somehow. And if we're in doubt, we're going to interview the groups, right? But I need to be able to individually assess the contributions. And that's why this is my legal way out. Yeah. I said to the students, please provide these lists. I'm collecting these lists. And if the group's contribution is fine, everything's fine. Yeah. If the group's contribution is such and such, we may look at why this is the case. And if there's one or two poor, very ambitious guys that are just dragged down by four free riders. Yeah. Because that can happen. And in these cases, we have to individually see what we're going to do. But that's, I chose to not have the Stasi part again. Instead, we'll be having this. Okay. Good. Yeah. Tutoring, I already told you. So if you're in group, let's say group 17, right? And you have a question, post it on Piazza, and the tutor that is responsible for that day will try to answer that, right? Because there is a tutor on duty every day, and each of those tutors will communicate to you a two-hour time slot during that day where he is really there in front of his computer and can guarantee shorter answering times. Yeah. So if you post something at, let's say, 11 p.m. at night, you cannot expect to really answer him at 11 and 10 minutes later, right? But if it's in the afternoon and the person said that between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. I'll be there, you can expect that there's an answer like a quarter of an hour later, right? So this is to ensure that if you're sitting together in front of the computer and really work on the task, that you're not left with an obstacle and that you just cannot get over, right? So you'll have someone that you can talk to during those times. And each five groups have a tutor that this pack of groups is assigned to. So you have your own personal tutor and you can really interact with that tutor offline. So please, can you meet with us? We're having such troubles. And if the tutor has time, he'll be meeting with you on an individual basis. Okay? And, well, these are the times. Daniel is on Tuesday, Tobias Wednesday, Max Thursday, Fabian Monday, and Elias on Friday. I'll be having this a bit nicer later on, okay? Good. And this is important. Do not, never email me, right? This, not. Because that's a typical call center structure, yeah? So you're having your first line attendance, and I'm in the second line. I'm in the comfortable second line. Don't email me, yeah? Good. The final mark of the lab course, so you'll be getting an individual mark for each of the two assignments, M1 and M2, right? These are marks for each. And since the first task is only 2 weeks and the second one is 8 weeks or longer, it will be weighted according to the number of weeks of the respective assignment. Yeah? And that's your lab course mark, your mandatory lab course mark. Bang. That's that. Okay? These marks we will announce at the end of the semester, end of the actual lecture period, not earlier. That's also a bit of a game design thing. Yeah. So if you're a bit in doubt of how good you were, you have a bit of an encouragement to really keep working. Good. So that's that. Yeah. And we will, of course, justify those marks at the review of the exam. So if you come to the review and say, what are my marks? And I tell you 3.0 for the second one. And you say, well, we'll be discussing this. Good. And yes, that's that. Justified and discussed. What was I to say? One important point. One very important point. So in a lab course, you usually have a presentation date. Yeah. And each group is to be, is expected to present 10 minutes on July the 8th. Yeah. So that will be a date also to remember. Each of the gaming groups will introduce their work at July the 8th, right? And presumably, we'll also have some of you present their work at the demo day, yeah, which was very successful in the last year. There were really crazy things. There were really good games that the people produced, dealing with subtle emotion engine structures developed by Daniel, or even things done in 3D, Unity, whatever. Really good games, very interesting designs, and we had a lot of fun at the demo day. Good. Yeah, well, the criteria for these lab course marks are creativity, correctness, completion and extension, right? So creativity is pretty clear. Correctness is that what you submitted really good code? Are there any mistakes in there? Does that work together? Does that compile? Is that correct in whatever way? Yeah. Does it fulfill the requirements? Or didn't you take into account anything with social context? So you can have a very nice ego shooter that's non-social. It's not really correct in terms of the assignment specification. Yeah, so you'll be getting small deductions in mark there. Completeness is everything there. And extension is how much effort did you put into that. So if you just program a multiplayer Pac-Man, very nice. Might even be okay. I'm not saying that a multiplayer Pac-Man is nothing. I surely couldn't do it in one semester. Yeah, presumably. However, don't think too big. So it's not that you need a big game, right? But if you just have stick figures that shoot at each other and then die and then the thing is over, the extension is not very super, I would say, okay? Good. So you only need a 4.0 or better in total, right? So if you fail the design part and get a 4.7 and are very good in your group in the implementation, it's fine, right? So it's the overall mark that has to be better than 4.0 to pass. Yeah. Good. That we can skip. So that already I said in the assignment one, you're doing sketches, storyboard, and movie with paper prototypes. And in assignment two, you'll be implementing this mobile social game. As I said, Android, Play, MongoDB, Facebook, and your privately owned Android devices. And there's a lot of things that you can do, right? You can do, Scotland Yard-like pursue style games. You can do personal mobile geocaching, if that is what some of you might remember. It's a bit outdated. Location-based dating, urban quiz, taxi, whatever you want that incorporates short-term and long-term social context. Good. Good. That I already dealt with. So now the time plan. We're already very far. So, in Toom Online, most of you might have already recognized that the Tuesday date, so this one, as well as the Wednesday slot are set for all Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So that's actually not correct. So the Tuesday slot is set. So every Tuesday we'll be having lecture here. That's set for computing as well as for gaming. And the planned dates on Tuesday are the following. And on Wednesday, theoretically, we're only entitled to have every second Wednesday, right? Because we're only having a 3-hour lecture, okay? However, we are going to use several of the Wednesday dates for introducing the 3 tasks of the lab course for the gaming students, and maybe also for the probability theory course, yeah? So these are just for the lecture, and it should be all right, yes?
It says Tuesdays from 12 to p.m.
Okay, so that's not correct, yeah? La, 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 la. So let's correct this. This is certainly 15 to 16:30. It used to be like that in the last year. And as you can imagine, 12 to 14 lunchtime and then 8 o'clock in the morning. So the audience quickly shrunk to like 10 or so, which, I mean, if I were a student and everything were recorded, to be honest, well, I really don't, honestly, I don't really have a problem with that. So that I perceive myself just as a learning facilitator. I'm really not important, right? It's important what you learn, but the only thing that I have, I want you to be quiet, and that's not because of me, that's because of your fellow students, right? So last semester I taught informatics for TUM BWL in the Audimax at Stammgelände, and it was war, yeah? Because people were not, I mean, you can eat, you can drink, you can quietly play something, you can doze away, as long as you don't make any noises, yeah? There were people that were having a party in the back. And I was saying, that's completely not logical, because if you want to have a party, there is no worse spot than my lecture. Come on. I mean, you can go out into the sun, have a nice time, whatever, but please don't do that. And the same is with lecture attendance. So if you get along very well with my background material and with the recordings, and if you say 8 o'clock, that's completely asocial, I don't want to get up that early, do it. Yeah. I don't have a problem. You're cordially invited. I mean, it's great to have so many people in the lecture hall. So if you really want to come, nice. Yeah. If you don't want to come, also nice. Yeah. But that doesn't mean a word of caution. Last year, people, I had the impression that people followed the strategy. Damn, I didn't pass game engine design. I have a lot of other lectures. Do I really want to learn this stuff? Oh, there is enough time when I prepare for the exam. And then they kind of sighed, ooh, it's a lot of, ooh, and somehow it's a bit mathematical and difficult as well. And these people were a bit under pressure, right? So I would not encourage you to work like this. Right? However, if you attend the lecture or not, it's absolutely up to you. If you like the style, if you like the attending, come, you're welcome. But don't push it until the exam preparation, because you're not going to make it. Yeah. Yeah. So his question was in Intum Online, actually, the Wednesdays are listed all, and I cannot, is that going to be changed in the future? And I will not change it because we need the free spots for unforeseen events, right? Because if you should vote for me to give you the lectures on probability theory, which last year's students declined, as I said, I will need the Wednesday dates. Otherwise, I cannot get a lecture hall, and that's hard for so many people, right? So I will not erase any of these. So please, if you want to, if it's Tuesday evening and you're saying, oh man, I'm so tired, do I really... Is it taking place at all? Look it up here, right? So that'll be your official resource for looking up whether a Wednesday lecture will take place. Now that's the planned lecture dates, and I'm going to continuously update this while the semester is moving forth. And this is the lab course assignments. And lab course assignment one will be tomorrow morning, where I'll be telling you what is sketching, what are paper prototypes, and what kind of movie are you supposed to deliver. And the second assignment is on April 29th, right? So the introduction also on Wednesday morning, where Fabian, Claudius, and I will tell you about the technology stack and where you find the actual information. Yeah. And with everything, it's always the case that everything I say should be somewhere in the material. Yeah. So you'll be getting extensive material for the lab course, a written sheet of 10 pages, the slides, everything on Piazza. Yeah. And if you don't like my lecture, there is chapters in books and papers that I take my slides out of. So for each lecture that I give, there is one resource that I take the stuff out of. So you can completely do it with book learning if you want. And all the books and papers are on Piazza, right? Good. Assignment three, Christoph and I will start on May 20th. And as I said, that will be the only presence thing with respect to the third exercise or the third optional task thing. Yeah. And there won't be a separate session for each worksheet, right? So you'll get all the worksheets. And if you say, why are then there seven worksheets? The answer is we need to follow a time plan, right? Because we first need you to provide the social network of the people in this room before we can then analyze it, right? So we need to go step by step. That's why we're having sheets for each week then, right? Good. That's that. And So what are your to-dos? So maybe as a last slide, yeah, and then we're through. Before we can go with the questions, yeah. Of course, everything will be recorded. The introductions of the lab course things are also recorded. Everything that it takes place in that lecture hall will be recorded with TTT, right? You know, maybe know that from Seidel's introductory lectures, okay? And hopefully the recording is running right now. Let's see if it works out. So your to-dos, please, starting from, first of all you guys, social computing and social gaming, should simply plainly register in TUM Online, right? As for these groups of six, for the social gaming students only, it will be in TUM Online starting from tomorrow, 4 p.m., and it will end on April 21st, midnight. You can register for these groups of six. I have not yet devised any of these structures, so if you look it up now, there'll just be nothing. So later on in my office, I will set all these to online things, and maybe there'll show up some more holes in my office desk because TUM Online is a pain for you to use, but for the people that have to use it as a lecturer, it's a disease. Okay. Did I say it's a disease? No. I didn't say that. No. Did you hear that? No. Oh, it's a oh, it's very nice. Good. So, second thing, GitHub accounts will be available from the week after the introduction. So from Wednesday, April 22nd. Yeah. So we'll be setting up your GitHub accounts. So in the first week of your first lab course assignment, you just cannot post anything. You will have to, you will have to do the sketches and then post them. And please register in Piazza, because Piazza is the hub, the 42, the enlightened place. Yeah? If you're not registered, it'll be a problem, right? Cool. Well, I think that was about it. So, yeah, nice. Do you have any questions? Yes. So the question was, those that are doing the thing for the second time, do they have to register for these groups? So the thing is, if you pass the lab course last year, you don't have to register, of course. No, so if you pass the course, don't do anything. So that's that. If you're from last year and you passed the exam but not the lab course, then you will have to obviously register for a group, right? That's okay. Other question? So the question was, do the social computing students have to show up tomorrow? And the answer is no, because you're not having to do anything with the lab course, right? So the next lecture that is relevant for you will be next Tuesday. Yes, the question was, what about other Wednesdays? For sure, the lecture Wednesdays are for both groups, yeah? Because the lecture will follow through. The only time that you don't have to show up is if it's a lab course assignment Wednesday. And which Wednesday it actually is. So there's three possibilities. Yeah? Nothing at all, which will be the worst thing. You got up in the morning and it's just an empty lecture hall without me. How disturbing can that be? Yeah? So if you feel really psychologically disturbed, come into my office and I'll hug you. Okay. Second possibility is the thing takes place, but it's a lab course introduction, and you're a social computing student. The same things apply. Just the only replacement, I'll hug you down here. Okay. A third thing, you don't need to do the hugging thing. Okay. It's not mandatory. So third possibility, it's actually a lecture, and that's for both groups. Okay. So, any other question? Yes? Yes. So the question, if it's a lecture and it's for both groups, you can get a free hug anyway. Really?
Yes. So it's
4 or 5. Okay, good. So his point was, in TUM Online it says that for social computing the course will be actually 4 ECTS and not 5. Really? So he says it says 5. The right answer should be 5. So please cross check. If it still says 4, write me an email. But I think it's according to his information, it's right. It should be 5 for the social computing and for the social gaming. The whole module should be 10. So the question was, as a clever games engineering student, you could, in theory, take social computing as a course later in the master's or as überfachliche Grundlagen. Not. Well, you can gamble, right? If the Schriftführer, yeah, is not very well attentive, then you might get through with this. If the Schriftführer knows his stuff, not. I'm not saying this. No, it's not worth a try. Honestly, no. Good. Any other questions? Yes. So the question was, are the time slots for the tutoring groups known? And the answer is there are no time slots because it'll all be online. So you know your tutor that you have to email your reports to, and any other interaction is via the online discussion board. So there'll be no present states for the lab course other than those that you deal out with your own tutor. If you say, well, we just cannot get along, please meet with us, he'll be meeting with you. Yeah? Other questions? Yes? Please be quiet a little bit until we're at the end. Yes? So the question was, are we going to start 8 sharp or later? Well, first of all, let's ask for today. Is there anyone here that has a problem if we start on time? So that's 4 sharp. Is there anyone that has a problem with that yet? So you might have a problem, yes? 15 minutes. Okay. So if there should be a problem, you know that in former times, these lecture halls were organized in 2-hour slots. Yeah, those were the good old former times. So we could pretty much do anything that we wanted. As far as I'm informed, now these things are organized in 1-hour, 45-minute slots. So that means that we are actually expected to start on time. Yeah. So if we start 15 minutes late on Wednesday, it, as far as I know from an organizational point of view, we will just be back to back with the next professor, right? So let's say it like this. Tomorrow we'll be checking out what's going on, right? And if there should be any chance to sleep longer, we'll be sleeping as long as we can. Yeah? But if the chance is not really there, it's not there, okay? It'll only concern 5 of you in the long run, I fear. Okay, good. No, just joking. Of course, you'll be all attending tomorrow. Honestly, for the games engineering students, tomorrow you should really show up because otherwise you probably won't know what to do in the first lab course assignment. Other questions? Very nice. So those that have anything with last year, like I passed the lab course, but I didn't pass the exam or something, come down. For all the others, have a nice day, and yeah.